You beloved Muslims, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa Jumu Mubarak.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَاطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ رَسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. We say صدق الله العظيم, and Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, dear believers, our topic today is to succeed, we must labor hard with faith and keep the balance. Repeating, to succeed, we must labor hard with faith and keep the balance. Brothers and sisters, this khutbah is still in the spirit of the month of Ramadan. I'm not proud to say this, dear family, but when Ramadan ends, it really doesn't take me too long to get back into my old routine. And everything about my old routine is not necessarily conducive to Ramadan. Now don't let your imagination run away with you. Don't worry about that. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. The focus is not the same. The concentration is not the same. We get lax in certain areas. So I don't want us to let this go too quickly. We need to continue to capitalize on the 30 days of fasting that we just experienced. We need to continue to capitalize. And one of the good things is, and excuse me for being so bold with this, there's a couple opportunities for us to keep the spirit of Ramadan going. One is natural. What do I mean natural? Our sisters that are still having their monthly cycle, they break the fast during the month of Ramadan and they make it up afterwards. So this keeps Ramadan on their mind and this gives them an opportunity to keep that spirit. But what else did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to us? He encouraged us to fast 6 days in the month of Shawwal. That's the month that we're in right now, the month immediately following Ramadan. And the reward of this, now here's the mercy of it. You don't even have to do 6 days in a row. Just do 6 days. And this keeps you in the groove. It lingers in the spirit a little bit longer, Ramadan. Praise be to Allah. And the result, my memory is a little fuzzy on this. I don't know if the reward for the 6 days is if you fasted for the whole year, or if you, okay, my sister's shaking her head, so I got a confirmation, or for that month. What, Imam getting ready to tell me something too? Well, y'all research it yourself. My sister told me that if you do the six, it is if you fasted the entire year. Praise be to Allah. That's a wonderful opportunity to keep the spirit. So brothers and sisters, that's the groove I'm in. Why am I in that groove? Because Ramadan, again, this topic has to do with balance. This is going to be one of our focuses, particularly the first part of the khutbah, balance. That is the struggle for the human family. That is you and my struggle. Ramadan helps us get in a mindset of being regulated, get in a mindset of discipline. Balance, that's the human family struggles. And dear brothers and sisters, Allah says in the Quran, paraphrasing, guard against the extremes, for you will find the shaitan in the extremes. See, brothers and sisters, that's part of Satan's plan. He fans extremism, because extremism is governed by a lot of emotions. Extremism, if you're an extremist, it has to do with an emotional charge, an emotional push. You're governed by emotions. You're governed by your desires. You're governed by your appetites. Allah cautions us another place in the Quran, be careful of the types of people that go about their appetites unchecked by knowledge. But here's the point. You've heard me say this, I will say it again. Extreme emotional behavior bypasses the intelligence. So in most cases, when we sober up, and I'm not talking about from khamr or liquid khamr, I'm not talking about from alcohol, when we sober up from the strong emotions, we usually regret what we've done. We said something we shouldn't have said, we done something we shouldn't have done, and now we're regretful. And that's what Satan's counting on, bypassing our intelligence. Now let's translate the ayat. I only read part of it. I'm going to read all of it because there's insight here. We're talking about staying in the struggle. We're talking about keeping the balance. A translation says, thus have we made you a community or ummat justly balanced, that you might be a witness over the nations and the messenger a witness over yourselves. I'm going to pull up right there. Brothers and sisters, the main point that I get from that statement, first, of course, Allah says He made us a balanced community. But actually, a better translation is middle, midway, middle community. Other translations will say middle. And this is good because you don't want to be too far left, too far right. Middle. So Allah did this for us. That shows intent and what our purpose is in the world. Not just personally or as a community. We have to bring balance to the world. So Allah says that, and then He comes behind that and says, you are a witness for humanity. And the Prophet or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a witness for us. How should we interpret that? A interpretation is this. Let's start with the Prophet first, upon him be peace. He is that example. He is that model. He is that standard that we're trying to mirror. So in other words, the witness is, how well do you and I line up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We'll never get there. That's the goal though. The goal is to get there. And the more we strive for the goal, the closer we become. And if we never arrive, if we keep striving, we're still closer than we were. So his model, his standard, his example is witnessing. It shows us up or it lifts us up. Either it exposes our weaknesses or it confirms the excellent qualities that we have. And since we're his followers, we're doing the same for the world. Are we moral? Are we truthful? Are we just? Are we decent? Are we good husbands? Are we good fathers? Are we good mothers? Are we good wives, etc.? What are you modeling for the world? Just like Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, I raised you up. You're the best. I've evolved you over time for all mankind. And that's our role and responsibility. Now, brothers and sisters, this is never easy. Now, look at the context. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more so you can see the context of the revelation. Allah says, and we appointed a Qibla to which thou were used, only to test those of you who followed the messenger from those who turned on their heels from the faith. Indeed, it was a change momentous, except to those guided by Allah. And never would Allah make your faith of no effect. For Allah is to all people most surely full of kindness, most merciful. Brothers and sisters, there's the context. This context in it suggests struggle, suggests difficulty. The mere fact that Allah changed us from one direction to another, and for those that may be guessing what I'm talking about, in the beginning the Muslims prayed towards Jerusalem. But Allah decided at this juncture in our evolution to turn us towards the original house built by Ibrahim and his son Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam. The mere fact that we're changing gives us trepidation. We don't like change. We resist change. What's wrong with the way we're doing it? We get comfortable in the way we are, but to change, we don't know what that holds, so we're leery, reserved. And all change is not good. And sometimes change is good and inevitable. We know that. I think all the time it's inevitable, but it's not always good. Praise be to Allah. So that's it. That's the test. It'll be difficult for those who don't have faith. What else does Allah say in the Quran? You understand? Now, why are you tying this in? Allah says, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hafidhu alla salati wal salati. SubhanAllah. Salatul wusta. Wa kumu lillahi qanitin. It translates, guard strictly your habit of prayers, especially the middle prayer, and stand before Allah in a devout frame of mind. Brothers and sisters, I'm really just bringing this up, and I'm going to bring something else up in just a moment, that there is a beautiful theme in the Quran throughout of balance. Of balance. And one of the connections I'm making here, the same Arabic word that is used in the first ayat I read and in this ayat is the word wusta. Wusta. And its derivative. It's the same word for that type of balance. Because mizan is another word in the Quran that means balance. That has a different connotation. So again, brothers and sisters, I have to add this. This is just by way of information. I'm digressing just slightly. Most of us believe that this middle prayer is Asr prayer. But we learn in studying the history that there's been a debate even among the Sahaba, those that were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as to whether Asr or Fajr was the middle prayer. Well, what is the logic? What is the confusion? Well, most of us look at Fajr as the first prayer of the day. We get up, we've rested all night, we get up, boom, Fajr, that's first. Dhuhr is second. Asr third, Maghrib fourth, and Isha fifth. So right in the middle is Asr. That's the middle prayer of the day. And I believe the majority of the scholars accept that. That's my understanding as well. And Allahu Alam, Allah is the best knower. But the other logic is, and we just experienced this again during Ramadan, that the first night of Ramadan happened prior to our fasting. Our first day of fasting was Sunday the 29th, but the Tarawih Salat and Ramadan came in after sundown on the 28th. So there's the logic. The logic is our day begins at sundown. So the first Salat would be Maghrib, the second Isha, the third Fajr. You get it? Praise be to Allah. Don't lose no sleep over it. That's just a little something that you can talk about over your coffee or something. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. But as I begin to close this part of the khutbah out, the human being struggles between spirituality and the world. You have some believers, and I'm going to give you that title. I'm still trying to earn that title, but I'm going to give it to everybody else, the believers. The believers struggle between dunya and spirituality. Some of us are way too much dunya and not enough spirituality. And some of us are so spiritual, we float, we levitate. And we don't even want to pick up a piece of paper off the floor. Extremes, isn't that what we're guarding against? That's what we're talking about here today. That for us to succeed, we have to work hard. Labor hard, have faith, and avoid the extremes. Praise be to Allah. This is one you all are familiar with. Allah says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, but seek with the wealth which Allah has bestowed on thee the home of the hereafter. Nor forget thy portion in this world, but do good. Correction, SubhanAllah, do thou good as Allah has been good to thee. And seek not occasion for mischief in the land, for Allah loves not those who do mischief. Beautiful call to balance. This is not the focus, so I'm going to hit it and keep moving. That ayat was revealed for wealthy people. The context is Allah was speaking to a wealthy person. You might say, wait a minute, he done got his share and everybody else's too. That's the point. That's the point. Get your share and only your share. And the share I blessed you with, give back. Bless society. But it's also a message to you and I, the industrious, striving poor. Some of us have given up. Oh, this is my lot in life. I'm going to be busted. I'm going to be broke. I'm going to be poor. I ain't never going to have nothing. I can't rub two nickels together. That's not what Allah says. Allah says, get your share. You have a share too. Praise be to Allah. Again, balance, dear family. in concluding this part of the khutbah, it's all about balance. Don't overstate things. Don't understate things. Don't overreact to things. Don't underreact to things. See, people don't look at it that way. But if you underreact, that's an extreme also. If I had my 3-year-old grandson with me, and I was holding his hand out in the parking lot, cars moving all about, moving all around, and he broke free from me and took off, and I just turned and started continuing my conversation, or I casually or leisurely, come on, just here, walk, try to get him back, y'all would say, what's wrong with him, ma'am? She cared. His behavior doesn't meet the seriousness of the situation, that the potential of the situation of what could happen. And that's what happens with us sometimes. We underreact, but most of the time we overreact. So now I have a vendetta, or in the case in our world where we're at war with different people throughout the world, not only do I kill those that I'm fighting, I don't care who I kill. Extremism, fanaticism. And we do this in the name of Islam, which is the irony, which is actually the tragedy, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did that. I was listening to one of the imams and he was pointing out, I don't remember all the numbers, but this is very beautiful. He pointed out that a lot of times people want to charge Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with being a warmonger, that he was one of those individuals spread al-Islam by the sword. We know we had many battles in his lifetime, but let's just talk about in his lifetime. The 4 or 5 major battles in his lifetime, less than 300 people were killed, and that's on both sides.
Allah.
On both sides, if the numbers are right, less than 300, something like 282 people or something like that. But we want to say he's the one that's bloodthirsty. And all we got to do is look at World War I, millions. World War II, millions. Gulf War, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, I don't remember now. My point is balance. And also, we don't want to exaggerate and overstate. This is my personal challenge to keep the balance. And I believe this is the challenge of our Ummah. In part, Ramadan is about discipline, order, structure. The human being struggles for this every day of their lives. Are we too extreme in worship? Some people just want to pray all the time. You know the popular hadith. They spoke highly of a brother, made all of his prayers. He's dhikring, he's meditating, he's doing all these things in the masjid. They go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put accolades on him, praise him. And the Prophet asks one simple question. Who takes care of him? Who supplies his needs? We do, Ya Rasulullah. Well, you better than he is then. Everything in a context, in the balance, even in the Quran, and we know our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a praying man. Can't nobody top the way he prayed, as long as he prayed, and often as he prayed. But Allah instructs him in the Quran, yes, rise up for tahajjud, yes, make the salat into the night, but not all night. And then another hadith comes to mind where this brother was so spiritual that he was neglecting his duties and obligations with his wife, from providing for her, from affection, all of that. And the Prophet got on his case. Fast some, eat some, pray some, go to work. I'm paraphrasing the hadith. I'm putting it in modern day vernacular. Praise be to Allah, that's our struggle. The way we have reacted in the Muslim world has damaged the image of our religion, and it has distorted the true picture. And this is one of the things that, by Allah's grace, our community, in association with the leadership of Imam Waridhuddin Muhammad radiallahu anh, we represented a sober, calming effect in the midst of September 11, 2001. Allah blessed us to make sense of this thing, to bring a calm, to bring some type of understanding to the public. I like the term sober-minded. This community is sober-minded and it's balanced. So this extreme stuff, our effort, and this is not to be show-offy, we feel that we have a duty. Matter of fact, brothers and sisters, we never really have to ultimately worry about this deen. Allah is taking care of this deen. He has promised through a hadith that after so many years, or at every 100 years, or whenever things get out of whack, not only will he send an individual, he'll send a group of individuals that will put it back on track. This is our time, I believe, and in our association. And we've inspired others too. Mass and CARE and all these wonderful organizations, they're doing a lot of wonderful things. But what gave them that permission? I heard this with my own ears when I attended the janazah of Imam Muhammad radiallahu anhu. One of the immigrants got up and said, Imam Muhammad and his community made it all right for us. We were watching you all. We saw that it was okay. We could be Muslims in America. Before that, yeah, they was meeting. They had masajid in the backwoods somewhere or in a house or somewhere, but they weren't out doing anything. And I'm going to sit down for this part of the khutbah. And brothers and sisters, the reality is, some people, the scholars have taught us that when you travel, listen to how I'm saying this, when you travel from a so-called Muslim land, I'm not going to use the K word, and you travel to a non-Muslim land, the hadith suggests that you have to justify your existence there. Meaning what? Are you going for education? It's okay to go to a non-Muslim land for education. The idea, though, is that you're going to be educated and bring that expertise back to your society, especially if it's a disbelieving nation. The good news, I don't categorize America as a disbelieving nation. I got to put that on the record. Yeah. The point also is this. You can go for education. You can go for da'wah. And there's another one, but it escapes me. My point is, justify your reason for being here. For maybe 100 years or better, Muslims were here and Americans were still ignorant about Islam. They didn't know about Islam. And we come out in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s with our type of Islam, and Muslim, at least in the hood, is a household word. Muhammad is a household word. They worship that Allah, household word. So brothers and sisters, we can't run from that. We have to make that contribution. Work hard and keep the faith. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, we pray for excellence in this life, for excellence in the next. Please save us from the torment of fires of sin. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Extremism. To be successful, we have to labor hard with faith and keep the balance. Some people worship too much and don't work enough. Some people work too much and don't worship enough. Some people are leisure. They just love leisure to the extent that they can't even get up and turn the channel on the TV. Some of us either give charity or we don't give charity. Well, you know I. And you gotta be careful with that too. Allah says don't give so much that you become destitute. However, Allah also encourages you to give in want and plenty. Maybe you just give less when you're wanting, but still give something. It purifies the soul. In concluding this khutbah, dear family, I want to look at something. The 94th surah in the Quran. Seeking refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy, and with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah says to Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have we not expanded thee thy breast and removed from thee thy burden, the which did gall thy back and raised high the esteem in which thou art held? So verily, with the difficulty comes the relief. Verily, with the difficulty, or in the difficulty, there is relief. Therefore, when thou art free from thy immediate task, still labor hard and turn all thy attention to thy Lord. I think you hear the last part of our topic in that. I said something about laboring hard. So I'm not going to comment on the whole surah. That's a short surah, 7-8 ayat. The focus, though, is two things. You all will bear me witness, though we were happy, though it was a blessed month, joyous occasion at the end, a celebration at the end, Ramadan is not easy. To adhere to the disciplines of the fast properly is not easy, especially if you don't have a support system that supports that. There's all kind of distractions. There's things that make it difficult, not to mention the internal noise. Then there's outside noise that we have to deal with. The point is, dear family, that Allah is encouraging you. First of all, I just have to say this. This surah was revealed during a difficult time in the Prophet's life, upon him be peace. A time of actual self-doubt. A time when he thought Allah was displeased with him and maybe had abandoned or forsaken him. Thus, the ayat, the surah before that, clearly states that 93, Surah Al-Duha, Allah says, I am not displeased with you, nor have I forsaken you. And he promised him the future would be better than the present. What is the point? The point is this. In the difficulty comes the ease. You have to have struggle. You have to have difficulties. That is the process for progress, the process for life. With no sense getting bent out of shape, complaining, whining all the time. Embrace it. Accept it. It's life. The sooner you do that, the better you can get on with doing something. Spend all your energy talking about why me. We'll forget all that. Put your time and energy into working through it, into plugging into Allah, asking him to give you the strength that it takes. Ask him to help you pass the test. That's all it is. It's a test. And then what does Allah say in the surah? He reveals the difficulty. I've put you in the difficulty. You appreciate, you enjoy the ease after the difficulty. Then what does he say? And I'm saying this to us because Allah blessed Imbir with a very beautiful month of Ramadan, and it culminated with a very successful program last Tuesday night. So the tendency is to rest. The tendency is to celebrate. Allah says, when you are free from your immediate task, immediately get back into a difficult struggle. Don't party too long. That's our tale, man. Ooh, I'm working hard, man. I enjoy. I'm going on vacation. Yes, and you may never come back from vacation. All your productivity gone. See, it's easier to keep the momentum going when you prime it, when you do a little something. When you completely stop, it takes more energy to get it going again. I'm teaching science now. Praise be to Allah. Inertia, right? Mm-hmm. Praise be to Allah. So that's my encouragement to us. Allah is with us. Allah has blessed us. We had a wonderful Ramadan. I commend Juma and Olaya for what they did to help us learn and have fun. The 6 nights during Ramadan for iftar and game night, etc., whatever you want to call it, Muslim Jeopardy or whatever, family Muslim feud, I don't know what all the game, beautiful time. And then look at what Imam Abdul Rahim and Sister Mahasan put together for our Eid Fitr celebration, where we invited the non-Muslim public to learn and experience joy, the joy of Eid. Praise be to Allah, the happiness of Eid. Yes. So, okay, you could take a 20-minute break, because even our heart rests between beats, doesn't it? Yeah, you got to have a little rest so you can keep going. You know, you got to sleep at night, so when you wake up for Fajr, you got the energy to do what you need to do. But everything in the balance, right? No extremes. And that's what we're seeking for, dear family. We're seeking for the balance. So we thank Allah so much for His kindness, His generosity, His blessings, His opportunity, His love, His mercy. And I thank Allah for this deen. I thank Allah for the most excellent human model, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I thank Allah for you all. I thank Allah for this community. Praise be to Allah. Just want to conclude with a couple announcements. The Islamic Center of San Antonio will have an Eid celebration all day tomorrow at their masjid. Personally, I plan to make a cameo. I don't think I'm going to stay all day. But, you know, we have to interface with our brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters. We're one family. And in a way, teach our brothers and sisters some. You know, there's some Muslims that don't go nowhere outside of their community. You can invite them. They don't come. They invite you because they're glad when we come. Well, you know, one of the rights that the Muslims have over each other is when you're invited to something, you're supposed to show up. Mm-hmm. There's five rights. That's one of them. So let's model. Let's be good examples for them. Praise be to Allah. The bowling fundraiser led by Brother Doug and his committee, the fundraising committee, has been postponed. We were looking at the middle of this month, but we decided that, or I should say they decided, that the timing might not have been right because people are getting ready for back to school, and you know that might take away from what we're trying to do. So we want to plan it better. So look maybe to September, October. You'll just stay tuned. You'll hear more about that. Want to invite you to keep up the sadaqah. We want to, you know, thank Allah. Brother Hassan is here, and you all know his wife had surgery recently, and I'm proud to report that she's home and recovering. So on behalf of Brother Hassan, he may tell you himself, but I'm sure he appreciates, you know, our dua. Praise be to Allah. Sister Catherine, good to see you. Sister Rabia, Brother Jay, Sister Bella, alhamdulillah, as I see, alhamdulillah, you're having more time to be with us, and we're glad to see you and hope you'll have more time in the future. So praise be to Allah. I've already talked a little bit about the program we had. So is there any other announcements we have to make? Praise be to Allah. So with that, we will conclude. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammadin. كما صلى إبراهيم على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت لإبراهيم على إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد آمين أكبر السلام الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله حي الصلاة حي الصلاة القامة الصلاة القامة الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.